And to kick off today, of course, we had the first session was a huge session about laying the foundation around values, to be list, vision statement, getting clarity, right? And then doing some analysis on what you did in 2013 versus 2014 and 7 steps that can change your life. Well, and today we're going to talk about 7 decisions you can make that will totally change your life as well, but 7 steps that you can change your life. So does anyone want to, I'm going back to our first session, anyone want to share a little bit if they've done more work on this, or are you all procrastinating and putting it off until Thursday and Friday of this week? I told somebody today, I said, you know, this is not the kind of work that you want to do in one sitting. It takes, because it's like a great bottle of wine. When you undo the cork, you got to give it time to breathe, because that's when you'll be able to experience the best of it. And that's what this kind of work is about. You need to let it simmer. You need to put ideas in your head, and you need to think about them, focus on them, and spend a day or two walking away from it, and then get back to it to create the best possible results. So I just highlight that to you. Don't try to put this all off on, 3 hours Saturday morning or something, because you're not going to get the highest and best results. That mulling time, that concept of going places where you haven't been before, the idea of allowing, to me, it's what I call a free-flowing mind. It's allowing me to have that open mind space where I just, it's free thought. So it just takes me places that I don't go if I stay within structure or I feel pressure, because it's just freedom of thought. So anyone want to share anything that you've gone through in terms of our first session, the values, the to-be list, the vision statement, or analyzing your 2013, what you did in 2013, perhaps what you're willing to set aside to move out of its way because you can be more effective by doing something differently? A lot of quiet people on the call, Lydia. They're all. She says you're all Christmas happy. Anyway, is anyone doing this work yet? Can anyone raise their hand and take themselves off mute and say, "Yes, Mary Jo, I am doing it." You may not want to share, but are you working on setting yourself up for tremendous success in 2014. Star 6.
I've started it. I can't say I've gotten very far, but I started.
Wonderful. Thanks, Melinda. Thanks for sharing. Good. So you're putting forth the effort. That's great. That's what we want to hear. It doesn't, I know it's a busy time of year, but we need to really keep the perspective that don't let busyness get in the way of success and results. Anyone else?
I'm working on it about an hour a day.
Hour a day, great. And that's a great dedication, because it's exactly what I suggest to people, is that you put it out there to do it over a time period so that you can have some free thought. Because if you put the ideas in your head every day for an hour, what's going to happen in your subconscious when you walk away and you start doing other things? It's going to still be, it's going to be simmering in there, and it's going to be, and you're going to come up with things that you perhaps never thought about before. And that's what I want you to do. Challenge yourself to be really creative and let your mind go wherever it goes. Don't try to stay stuck. If you stay in that same box you've been living in all along, you're going to create the same results, right? Great. Thanks, everybody. So good. So we have people working on it, and that's good to hear. Go ahead.
This is Rebecca. Yeah, I just want to let you know I'm working on it. I've been getting it from different things, from the flight team and other things, but it's really been helpful to just look at it. I was kind of discouraged, disappointed, but then when I looked at it, I'm spending time just sitting there, spending time probably early in the morning is really best for me, and I've just been meditating a lot of things, praying over them, and I can see different awarenesses that I've come up with that are really going to, that I've already made, but
yeah.
I didn't realize them.
Good. And go ahead, Becca.
Yeah, and just different things have just come up for me that I realized, you did shift,
Great.
But
great.
What I can really focus on a little bit more intensely in those certain areas that I didn't.
Right. And then kind of put those on, okay, so 2013 looked like this, but I want 2014, this is where I need to shift over here. So you've got your directional, right?
Right.
Good.
I'm getting more,
more clarity.
Really good. It's
absolutely.
Really, as I'm looking back, I haven't done this so much right before the new year, and how this is really helping to do it right before the new year, so I can really, be already out of the starting blocks instead of just,
right, jump out of the starting block. And it's a good, the reason I like to do it at this time of year is because it captures, most people have some free time towards the end of the year. I know with all the holidays sometimes we get really busy, but we usually have some free time towards the end of the year. The other thing is that if you kick off your new year with an idea that you know how you're shifting or you have a directional for shifting, you have more hope, and there's more, there, you know, it's easier for you to have a vision than if you just keep rolling along and then all of a sudden, okay, maybe at March I'll look at this. Well, then your first 3 months are going to be no different than your last 12 months. So, and we want to create newness. We want to create greater results in your life, a greater level of abundance in your life in many ways, not just financially, but abundance in terms of friends, in terms of communication skills, in terms of developing, you know, a greater depth of faith, all these things that we want, because abundance comes and looks in many, many different ways. And this is a great way to get you into that realm. So, good. Great, great, great. Well, good for hearing from all of you, and I'm so glad you're working on it step by step, and it's just, it is a process. That's why I tell people, don't plan, don't put these last 3 weeks, all the information, and tuck it into a folder file and say, oh, I'm putting it off over here because I'm going to get to it on December 31st. Good grief. I mean, I'm glad you're going to do it on December 31st, but I'm just going to say that whole concept of, you know, letting that wine breathe and letting it simmer is what makes a bigger difference. It gives you greater awareness and greater openness. And notice what Rebecca said, too, because I think this is a great lesson for all of us. The great lesson. Lydia, did you start taping? Okay, good. I didn't hear her say it. Another great lesson from Rebecca was the idea that she said, oh, now I've just shifted my brain on it. And I lost it. Oh, she got frustrated because she didn't see shifts in things. Now, some of us step into this whole exercise from a perspective of, I don't want to do it because I know it's going to cause me to feel depressed or it's going to get me discouraged. And I want you to say to yourself that that's a choice you're making. Because in order for us to move forward and be better, we need to acknowledge perhaps areas where we have some shortages, right? I mean, every one of us, it doesn't matter whether you're you or me or Ray Robbins or, you know, the most successful people in Manitech. They have shortcomings. We all do. And it's not about getting stuck in the shortcoming. It's about having the reality check that we know we can move forward. And you heard Rebecca's voice. She said, yeah, I got kind of depressed because of that. But then I said, well, you know, I really... And so she saw herself doing that. It's a process that I'm going to suggest that all of us go through because we all want to be perfect. Or we have some goal for ourselves that's better than where we are today. So when we start getting into looking at things that haven't moved forward, we get down on ourselves for not having created something different. Well, you got to stay out of that because if you keep beating up on yourself, you're never going to get anywhere. You learn from the past and you do something different in the future. That's the beauty of the 2013-2014 exercise is that you can look back and say, wow, I can see where I did move and I can get excited about that, but I can also see where I didn't move and now I can work on that. Put my attention on here I didn't move and why didn't I move and what can I do better to move, right? So don't let yourself get down about goal setting. Don't let yourself get down about, you know, reviewing your year end, talking about things that can be done differently. This is all part of our process of how we can be better. It's a process. And beating up on yourself is a negative process and creates nothing but negative results. It's not about getting down on you. It's about getting excited about the future that you have and you have within the palm of your hand to create. Because God made every one of us creators, every one of us, because we're created in his image, right? So we're creators. So and we know that through our faith, we can create, I mean, anything is possible. So it's like this huge, we have this huge future, and it's just for us to step into, but we have to understand that power within and around us that allows that to occur and then harness all of it. Instead of doing what we've been doing. So we look at what is that? What are our attitudes? What are our viewpoints on things that could be holding us back? Scarcity is a huge one. you know, coming from lack, coming from thinking that there's not enough money out there, there's not enough this or not enough. There's no such thing as not enough. There's an ever abundance in everything. It's just for us to go out there and find it and create it and develop it. And I mean, it's amazing what's available to us every moment of our days if we just start opening our eyes to the possibilities. So get to work on it. Just, again, suggestion, this is a great week. You know, somebody say, well, Mary Jo, somebody, I said, no, this is a great week because you have downtime. And you don't tackle all of this in one sitting. You tackle one piece at a time. That's why I teach it over 3-4 weeks because it's something that you need to, you know, work on over time. But you got to start, and it's good to have somebody to work with. So we've gone through values. We've gone through the to-be list. What are we working on with the to-be list? We've gone through the vision statement, my why. What's my vision for my life? Developing clarity around that. And that's so crucial to have that vision down. And it doesn't, you can say, well, Mary Jo, I don't have a vision for, you know, 20 years from now. I have a vision for 5 years from now. Great. I have a vision for 1 year from now. Great. What's your why? Why do you want this to happen? You know, you can have a vision for Manatech. That's part of what's inside me. Part of my why statement is my vision for Manatech, right? Because I am part of Manatech. So that vision is incorporated in my life. So anyway, so look at all that. Get the reality down. And next, setting the goals. Last week we talked about goal setting, you know, and started being specific about that. I haven't done that step yet. Lydia and I are still working on what we're going to be doing differently. So we have a master list on those things, and we've been implementing some of them already. And but setting goals, you know, it's I did some of that with my flight team, so I have some of that already worked out that I did this past summer when I joined the flight team. But I'm going to go back and revisit that and see where I'm headed and what direction and where do I want to be and what do I want to create, and that's important. But And notice that when we did the goal setting, we talked about what? When I went through the goal setting with all of you, we talked about 6 different categories because I am not somebody who wants imbalanced people in my life. I want to, because the reason why? For you, not for me. I mean, it is nice for me to deal with people that are more balanced, but I want it for you in your life as well. When you get way out of balance, you become a hard person to deal with. You're out of touch with reality, and thus you have a hard time getting other people to be in touch with you. So you want to keep a balance in your life. You want to be professional, intellectual, physical, financial, spiritual, social. You want all those goals set that you're developing as a total person. A total person development. And so you want to have goals in all those areas, and that's what I like to work with on people, that they don't just have a single vision of Manatech, because that's not healthy. And I've seen divorces happen in Manatech because of that, and it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart to see that happen, that those kind of deep commitments can go by the wayside because Manatech steps into somebody's life. So, and some of you go, well, Mary Jo, my spouse isn't very favorable about it, blah, 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 and I'm going, well, meet my husband. When I started with Manatech, I remember he said, when are you going to go out and get a real job? He was funny. But thank goodness I was the major breadwinner of my family, so I didn't have to really be dependent on him. I didn't, you know, it's kind of one of those decisions I made young when I was a young kid because I saw what happened in my household, and I said, you know what, I'm always going to be independent. I'm going to be successful no matter what. I mean, that was a determination I made at 5 years old when I saw my mom put one chocolate chip in each of the chocolate chip cookies she was making because we couldn't afford any more than that. And I had to eat 12 cookies to get all the chocolate I wanted. I knew I was going to be successful. Well, some of us are driven in that way, and some of us aren't, but we have different reasons why we have drive, what created that, what was our background, what happened in our life, what are those differences. But we want to make sure that we take that and we apply it in our life in a way that's successful across the board in all of our life, that we're not so driven that we drive people away. We want to be balanced. We want to have incredible family lives and social lives and spiritual walk and, you know, all of those things, physical being. So put all those goals together and make all that happen and get them written right. And if you, you know, get your accountability partner, we talked about that as well, that everybody should look for an accountability partner, and because it's important. I mean, it helps. It's one of those things, if you want to be successful in your life, if you're dedicated to making 2014 the most successful year of your life, which I am, I'm dedicated to making it the most successful year of my life, 2014. then you want an accountability partner. You want somebody to be, because why? Because it can only help you get there. If you have these tools that you know are available and make things better, when you choose out of them, you're just setting up excuses for why not instead of reasons why. For you to create, how many of you had accountability partner in 2013? Probably less than 2% of the people on this call. How many are you going to choose to have one for 2014? That will make a tremendous amount of difference in the results that you create. So another great suggestion for you. Okay, so anyway, so we went through all of that. Let's jump in. And again, I know you're all working somewhere in the process of running through all of that information, and I'm excited for all of you to make those, put forth that effort and take those steps to get there. Today I want to talk about Andy Andrews, because Andy Andrews became kind of an important guy in a lot of our lives after Frisco, right? And I know there are some people that walked away from Andy in Frisco and said, Mary Jo, I just didn't get that guy. That guy drove me crazy. Or that. And most of the people that said that to me were people that were in the I quadrant somewhat, because they couldn't hang in there. Or they're ADD. I should say that. Because the I quadrant isn't necessarily ADD. But people who are ADD might have a hard time with Andy Andrews because it was hard to focus sometimes on Andy, because he really dug in and he went off on tangents at times, especially in the first session that we had with him. But what a tremendous depth of just digging. This guy's digging in life. He's digging, and I love to see somebody in the struggle of life. I mean, Andy Andrews looks at life and he says, how do we create the best possible life for ourselves? How do we do this? And he's struggling with that, and he's struggling with it from the perspective of struggling with sharing his wisdom he's gained over his, 20-year, 30-year journey with this concept. Most of us don't have the time to struggle with that every moment of our life, but that's Andy's livelihood. That's his choice. So he's come up with some great, tremendous ideas for us to work with to help us move forward. And when we started this whole process 3 weeks ago, one of the things, especially on the goal sheet, we said, well, Andy Andrews said that he didn't like goals. And we talked a little bit about that. And Andy did, he talked about how to achieve your goals. But his concept of goals was what? He looked at goals and he said, you know, the problem with goal setting is that people lie to themselves all the time. We have a tendency to lie to ourselves. We go, I'm going to be presidential director by May of 2014. And we just throw it out there. And a goal isn't something just to be thrown out there. It's a direction for our life. But what is our process to get there? And so Andy's intentionality is to make sure in our lives that we have set up a process, a daily process, that allows us to achieve whatever we choose to achieve in our life. Because it's what we do every day that will make a difference in what result we recreate 6 months from now. So if you, in fact, truly want to be presidential director at our 20-year celebration in May, which is a great goal to have, then what are you going to start doing January 1st to make that happen? What are you going to be doing differently on a day-in and day-out basis? And are you willing to do that is another question to ask. And it doesn't take 12 hours a day, no matter where you are. But it takes very, very, detailed, exact, specific actions. And it takes a proper mindset, right? And it takes a desire and commitment to achieve and develop the skills that are necessary to create that result. And if you're putting your time and energy around all of that on a daily basis, and you are disciplined, and you are daily and weekly reviewing your commitment to that, so you stay totally all in, when you fall off a little bit, you get back in, that is what Andy wants people to do. Don't worry so much about the goal of what you're going to be in May. Concern yourself with what you have immediate control of in the moment right now. What do we have in control that we have in control in the moment today that we can do to create greater results in our life? And that's what we need to focus on. So that's really Andy's approach. His approach isn't that you shouldn't set goals. It's you shouldn't set goals exclusive of making sure every day is a structured day that you create, that you commit to, because what you do today, what you do in the moment, what you do in the next hour is going to make a difference in what you create 6 months from now. So I'm all in with his philosophy. I think it's absolutely accurate. And that's why he says people lie to themselves. They set these goals, these highfalutin goals, and then what action do they take today? Not even anything that looks close to what will create that result. And that's where you need to have your focus. So anyway, so he said, he talked about seven decisions. He talked about these at Frisco as well, but now we have a place to go. I sent you guys there last week. If you don't have the two specific, what are they, Lydia, sites that we sent them to? Links. We gave you two, we gave you links at the end of last week's second session, Planning for 2014. We gave you links to some of Andy's stuff. And one of them was the seven decisions. So today I'm going to go over the seven decisions and then talk about the calendar system that he has, because both are really important and I think could create a total difference in your life, unquestionably. Unquestionably. Just adopting this can totally change your life. Totally. So for those of you who are stuck and you go, I'm stuck, Mary Jo, I'm going to suggest this. I mean, I have a lot of other suggestions. I have two other days that we put together, you know, making sure you have an accountability partner or whatever. But you have to be accountable to yourself as well. I mean, you want to be true to yourself as well. So what Andy's saying is let's straighten out some of the stinking thinking that goes on in people's minds, and the way to do that is by repetitive reinforcement. And he does it by, you know, helping us make seven decisions in our life. And he calls these the seven critical decisions. So let's walk through them and talk about each one of them. And the first one is the responsible decision. And I teach on this all the time because I do coaching sessions with people. And I teach, you know, when I'm in my foundation and I teach trainers this whole concept of responsible, victim responsible. And that's really what he's going over when he talks about his first decision. The first decision is the responsible decision. The buck stops here. It means you take responsibility for your own problems and what's going on in your life. And just start today and start with the fact that I never again will ever blame and point my finger at anyone else in my environment. I'm not going to blame my spouse, my parents, my boss, my upbringing, my abandonment issues, my this, my that. I'm not, you know, stop it. Just write it off. Because as long as you are pinpointing and pointing your finger at somebody else, you are out of control. You have handed over control to them over your life. And it gives you a basis upon which you can claim, I'm a victim, I'm not responsible for what happens in my life, and you can have as many pity parties as you want, but you will never create anything in your life. It will only be by chance that something happens in your life because you're choosing to be victim. And is it a choice you can make? Absolutely. We all are in the position where we can choose to be victim. Do we all have things in our life that we can choose to be victim about? Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I can talk about, I love my parents and I love how they raised us in many ways, but I also hated some things in how they raised us, right? And that's what the benefit of being able to being your own parent, so you can do something different, although the rule is that 99% of us raise our kids the same way our parents did. Unless we go through some major aha moments in our life and major, you know, because all we do is we learn from what we had. And when you're talking about parenting, that's what happens. But the idea is that we can go back and we can blame, we can point a finger at if my parents only would have done that, or if they only would have opened me up to this, if they only would have done, well, that's a bunch of garbage. I had every opportunity to be a better person in those years myself. I could have chosen differently. I could have chosen differently. I could have had made better choices in my life, and I can go back and find 101 ways I could have done that myself. But that allows me to be responsible for me. And responsible doesn't mean blame or shame. And notice I say that stay out of all that language, because this isn't about shaming yourself. It's not about blaming yourself. It's not pointing your finger at yourself. This is all about the word responsible meaning able to respond. I have the ability to respond. Because being responsible or being victim, I just want you to think about it this way. There are viewpoints we take on life. And you can take this viewpoint about anything that happens to you in life. I'll give you an example of my life, the one that you've heard of before, but not from this perspective. My brother was shot and killed by his wife. My first response to that, of course, I had immense dislike, to say the least, of my sister-in-law. I mean, I was so angry. I was so angry at God as well, right? And soon thereafter, going through all the anger and being mad at God and mad at everything, I was mad at myself because I was mad. I kept thinking, what could I have done to stop this from happening? What could I have done? And how many of you have taken that on when you've seen bad things happen in your life somewhere along and you go, what could I have done? I mean, what could I have done differently? There's so many things we could have done differently. And were there 101 things I could have done differently to help my brother? Yeah. But could I have prevented that event from happening? I don't know. I don't know that. But there are 101 ways I could have been better. So I could have chosen, because it's a choice, remember? Victim, responsible are like two sides to a coin. I could have chose the viewpoint of being victim. I was victimized by da-da-da-da-da-da. Or I could have chose the side of being, I'm going to be responsible. So, and responsible doesn't mean I take blame, shame, or game. It means I'm able to respond. It's a fact my brother's gone. It's a fact he had a 14 and 16-year-old. It's a fact that these kids now lost both their parents and were very wounded, to say the least, beyond my comprehension. But I could choose to go victim or I could choose to be responsible. And my choice was responsible. Because what benefit do I get by going victim? There are virtually no benefits that I could see for me in going that direction. And there surely would be zero benefits for these children. These children would have excuses why their lives were screwed up for the rest of their lives, right? Right? How easy would that be to be screwed up and we could go on drugs and we could do this and we could go be in criminals and we could do all this kind of stuff. The path they could have chosen. They could have gone that direction. And very much of that was going to be dependent on what was going to happen in the next 24 months of their life. Or I could choose responsible, which meant take them in, nurture them, love on them, allow them to love their mom, even though what she had done was so wrong, and forgive her. Come from forgiveness, learn forgiveness in a whole new way, and now take responsibility for their own lives because none of this should ever hold them back because they're responsible to create what they create in their lives. And that's exactly what I did. So the idea is that we could take either choice. Every single event that happened in our life, we can look at it from a viewpoint of victim or viewpoint of responsible. And all he's saying is in the buck stops here, the responsible decision is I control my own thoughts. I control my own emotions. I am not giving that control to anyone. And I am moving forward, taking responsibility for my life. And it makes a huge difference. So we take a responsibility for our past, for our present, for our future, and it empowers us to do phenomenal things. We can create phenomenal things when we step into a responsible. And that's the most important reason why to do it, because it is the springboard to create phenomenal things. But what you need to do and all of us need to do is we need to make that decision that we're going to do that going forward. And we need to be able to look at and say, what am I doing today that's not consistent with that decision in my life? And shift, right? So responsible decision. Second decision is guided decision. I will seek wisdom. And this is a problem we have because there are a lot of things we don't know. And I don't care what age or stage you are in your life. I turn 60 next year, and you know what? There are a lot of things I don't know that I don't know. But I am seeking. I am a search missile. I'm out there. I read books constantly, as you all know. I love to read books. Lydia's got so many on my iPad now, I can hardly keep up with them. But every time I see one, I think it's going to be great. She gets it to my iPad, which is fun for me to be able to have that and read that when I have some spare time, sit down and catch some moments. But I love reading about new things. I love learning about new things. And I try to share that, as you see on my Monday calls, with you guys when I get, when, you know, a lot of, there's so much great information out there that's available for us and tools to use to develop ourselves and be better people. And I love all of that. But that's what we want to do, is seek wisdom, because, you know what, the wisdom I have today got me where I am. And if I'm satisfied with where I am, then I can stay stuck in that wisdom. If everyone on this call, if you can look in a mirror and say, Mary Jo, I'm totally satisfied with where I am, I'm going to say that's a sad statement, but that's a choice you can make. But if you can look in a mirror and you say, I'm not satisfied where I am, then what do you need to do? You need to seek wisdom, because what you know today is what got you where you are. So in order to create something bigger and better in your life, what do you need? Greater wisdom. So don't shut the doors to things you disagree with. Open your mind to say, maybe I disagree with them, and that's one of my problems. Did you ever think about that? Maybe I'm not even listening to that because I don't like it for some reason. Maybe I don't want to listen to that because it makes me feel uncomfortable. So I want you to open your eyes and your ears and your mind to other thinking. And I'm not talking about, you know, trust me, this isn't about your walk with the Lord, although some of you might think that, you know, that for me, I'm always looking for growth in that area as well, but I don't look at alternatives. I look at getting to know God better, right? So, I mean, maybe we, you know, I'm not suggesting that you go and try Hindu for a while or becoming a Muslim for a while or whatever. I'm just saying that we need to grow in our faith as well. But when I start looking at how I'm doing my Manatech business, are you kidding me? I'm always looking, is there a better way to do this? Am I, just like Musafir in Frisco when he taught us how to close people, when he said, nod your head up and down and hunch your shoulders. So what do you think? And he's saying, are you ready to get started? And you nod your head. I mean, you can say, well, Mary Jo, that's pretty simplistic. I'm just giving you an idea. If Mary Jo sat back and said, I'm good at closing people, I don't need to learn anything, I wouldn't have absorbed anything in that training. And yet I absorbed all of it because I thought it was fantastic. Right? So the idea is that we all need to learn. So if we're going to learn, what do we need to learn? We need to look at what is the wisdom. For Manatech, exploring Manatech, there's skills in Manatech that we need to develop. Every one of us needs to work on skills. I work on my skills every day, every week. I'm always constantly saying, how can I be better? You know, effective communication skills. When I talk to people, when I first got into this business, I was like a bull in a china shop. I was a lawyer. I just was pound on people. I would put, you know, I'd pound on your head with that hammer until you said yes, because that's what I learned to do in lawyering. I, you know, it was just who spoke the loudest, who is the toughest, and all these things. Lawyering was a whole different field, but it didn't work very well. So I had to shift. I had to change me. I had to choose to be different. How did I know how to do that? I didn't know I had to be exposed to what that meant. And then people started talking about speaking from your heart. And that really shifted in me in a gigantic way. And I got how to be soft and gentle. And I got how to listen. And today when somebody comes up, you know, my mind automatically goes, what is their personality quadrant? How do I need to be best I can be within their quadrant? And that's communication skills. It allows me to be maximum effective, right? And so we learn communication skills, how we speak, how we listen, how to stop. Instead of me always having to talk, which I always had to do because, and I'm not pointing a finger at my mom, I chose to be like my mother, who had zero listening skills, and I chose to be like her because that was my environment. It was easy to choose that. And it was not easy to see something different, because that's what life was to me. But I don't go victim to her because I made a choice. I could have learned. I could have expanded my mind at that stage just like we can now. So we make changes. Well, we look at effective communication skills, organization skills. What am I doing every moment, every day, every hour, every week? You know, what are we doing? Building confidence, making sure my mind is motivated. What am I doing to read? What wisdom am I adding? What am I exploring there? Leadership skills. Oh, my gosh, John Maxwell's massive books. So all these are areas that we need to develop and work on. So we need to pinpoint those for us and consistently be adding new concepts, new ideas, new growth in our lives around those. The high leverage activities, learn them and do them. Don't get stuck in things that don't work for you. Be a humble servant, right? You want to be a humble servant. So that all of that's part of the decision number two, which is to seek wisdom. Don't stay stuck, or you'll stay, if you don't grow, if you don't add, you'll stay exactly where you are. What you did in 2013 will be exactly what you duplicate in 2014 because you didn't add anything. You didn't grow. Number three, I'm an active, is the active decision. I have a person of action. This is critical as well. And I loved his quote. He said, wealth and prosperity hide from the sluggard, but rich rewards come to the person who moves quickly. That's really big. So, and it comes scripturally. I mean, this concept of the sluggard is clearly out of Proverbs. And, you know, it's something really important for us to understand. Don't be sluggish. Be a person of energy, of active. I'm going to get Lydia to re-mute because we got some reverb going on from somebody off of mute. Okay, so be a person of action, and I can be the one to testify to this one because if anyone knows me, they know I'm definitely a person of action. And when you're a person of action, you tend to inspire other people with your level of activity, right? You become inspirational for people, and you want to be inspirational. In this business, you clearly want to be. Take action, make decisions. Why is it that we fail to take action and make decisions? I'm going to suggest the number one reason is fear. We're timid, we're fearful, we're scared, we're all these kind of things. What are we afraid of? Things that we make up. Things that we make up. We're afraid of things that we make up. The number one fear people have is a fear of public speaking. Did you know that? It's hilarious. Fear of public speaking. We just make it up. How many people get up? I've worked with people that never spoke in front of a crowd, and I got them up in front of a crowd, and, you know, within 6 months they were addicted to it. Just lack of exposure, lack of experience. Anything can work, and when you talk from your heart, you can touch 1,000 lives. When I speak in front of a group, I can touch 1,000. When I speak one-on-one, I touch one. What do I prefer to do? I don't know how much time I have here on earth, but I prefer thousands. If I can have a greater impact, that's what I'm here to do. So, get rid of fear. Be courageous. Be a leader. Seize the moment. Choose now. So be an active. Be a person of action. Number four, that gets right into the choice area. Certain decision. You know, be a person, a decisive person. Have a decided heart. So don't sit there and be wishy-washy. And he starts out with a wise man, says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step, right? So a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. So we need to start. We need to take that action. We have to take that first step. For too long, we're tentative. We shuffle right to left, back and forward. You know, criticism, condemnation, and complaint are all creatures of the wind, and we let the wind blow us different directions. We end up going this way, that way. The power to make a decision lies within each and every one of us, and it's critically important that we have a decided heart. Be passionate, and things that hold us back sometimes is you know, we're thinking, well, maybe it won't work, now I want to ask you, who throws those concepts in your brain? Maybe it won't work. Maybe Manitech won't make it. Maybe we're not going to end global malnutrition. Maybe the skincare really isn't going to work, even though it's changing thousands of people's faces right now. Maybe this thing. Maybe this. Maybe this. That. Maybe you know who. Where do those thoughts come from? They come from a negative heart. They come from somebody who just is never going to create because they always choose to look at the glass half empty. So when you walk for that way, it's very hard to be passionate about anything because nothing's going to work for you, right? There's always a reason why not. If I look at life and I say, is there always a reason why not? Am I right about that? Absolutely. No matter what I choose in my life, I can always find a reason why not. I can always find a reason why not. I can always look at Manitech and I can make a list of reasons why not. But why don't I do that? Because I have made a decision of reasons why. I believe 1,000%. Can little things creep in there? Of course, but only if I allow them to. So I either play full out, and trust me, life playing full out is a lot more fun than halfway. So I want everybody to look at themselves today and say, how much of my body do I have into this Manitech thing? Have I put in my toe? Have I put in my foot? Am I up to my ankle yet? Has it climbed up to my knee? Have I gotten in all the way up to my waist? Because until you make the decision that you're all in, you're still going to create one-tenth, one-fiftieth, one-one-hundredth of what you possibly could create because you're not committed. You haven't made the decision of being all in. And what's robbing you? Look at what's robbing you of your passion. What are those? Where are those negative thoughts coming from? And why aren't you? Why are you allowing them to even seep into your mind? We don't want to make a decision because we don't want to be wrong. You're wrong by not making a decision. You're accepting wrong before you get started. Not making a decision is what? It's choosing mediocrity for the rest of your life. And can you do that? Of course. Mediocrity is clearly a decision you can make. But it is a decision. Indecision is a decision. So figure out what's robbing you of your passion for ending global malnutrition in children under the age of 5. One child dies every 6 seconds. Oh, Mary Jo, we really can't do that. Oh, Mary Jo. And I go, what? What? Are you kidding? You talk to some presidentials out there today. You talk to some of the warriors out in the field today, and they'll look you right in the eye, just like I will, and I say, I totally believe Manatech will achieve this. In fact, I'm putting all in for 1 million children a day by December 31st of next year. I believe Manatech's going to be at 1 million children a day. Does everybody get that? Now, to give you some perspective on that, that's going to require this company to be at almost $2 billion in sales. You get it? 1 million a day. Are we going to get there? It's up to you. It's up to me. We're the ones that are the warriors. But do you believe it? Is it something you'd like to see happen? Oh, yeah, it'd be great, Mary Jo, if we could end global. There are very few people that would be sad about ending global malnutrition of children, but how committed are we to this? How decisive are we about this? Everyone you know has an opportunity to approach their health by using nutritional supplements, real food, natural supplements, instead of going into the sickness industry. Are you committed around that? And some of you go, well, Mary Jo, but people are negative. They just want to do it with their doctor. I said, some are, some aren't. But if you're committed to creating a difference in people's lives, you're not going to let those that aren't change your mind or rob from you. This is, once again, who are you going victim to? The minute you start going on, wah, 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 you're going victim to somebody else's attitude. I recognize people are going to be ignorant out there. And I don't want to be judgmental about it, but I think people that are stuck in our sickness industry are ignorant, right? I think they are. And they're going to be ignorant people, and they're going to be people that, because of their ignorance, I have a hard time breaking through that. But I'm going to love on them, and I'm going to do my best to try to open the light, share the light, because they're waiting to find a better way. And supporting others to achieve financial independence through this incredible opportunity. We have so many opportunities to do that, and that is a crisis. The income disparity in this country is growing at such a rate, it's phenomenal. And I loved what Switzerland did the other day. They proposed a law that people couldn't make more than 12 times what the least amount of person made, 12 times multiple. So you start bringing the society back into it. Now, I know some of you go, Mary Jo, that's socialism. It's not socialism. It's just saying, hey, I believe in capitalism. Go out and make a lot of money. But do people really need 24 houses, 12 boats, 2 islands, you know, 7 personal airplanes? I mean, is this really what, when we have half of our country that lives in poverty, is that really what we need? I don't know. I just ask. I don't think that's what God had intended. Clearly, if you read Scripture, that's not what he had intended. So the idea is there a way we can implement a system where that we can truly have it, almost like enforce God's word by saying, okay, at certain levels we're going to have to those much is given, much is expected. Well, let's have that expectation come to fruition. So there's a lot of that you can get a look at and say, well, how do we evaluate that? Do we, you know, I want to help people be financially independent so they can be, you know, where, you know, and I'm financially independent, but I would even like more finances. Because even though last week or week before I wrote my next check to build another church in Brazil for $12,000 out of my checking account, I wish I could do that every single week. So let's help others become financially independent so we can truly change this world together, make bigger changes. So have a decided heart. Number 5, joyful decision. Do you truly understand the concept of happiness? The time is now. Happiness. What is happy about? And you go, oh, Mary Jo, how can I be happy? Look at my life. Oh, yeah. So we're going to give life control over us. We're going to give our surroundings control over us. We can't be happy because we don't have a new car. We can't be happy because we live in a rented apartment. We can't be happy because of this. We can't be happy because of that. We can't be happy. Is that an option, a choice you can make? Yeah. But the fifth decision for you needs to start with, I am a happy person.
Yay!
Yay, Lydia says. Happiness is the end result of certain thoughts and activities, which actually bring about a chemical reaction in your body. And you have total control over making that choice, no matter what your circumstances are. There are people out there that are live on the streets who are happy people. They're happy people because material things don't matter to them. Because they know material things don't bring happiness. But some of us are stuck in that plight. So get that shifted. And here's one of the most beautiful things, especially around Thanksgiving, we talk about heart of gratitude. You know, when you possess a grateful spirit, it's impossible for the seeds of depression to take root in a thankful heart. So when we choose to come from gratitude and be thankful, what a great week, too, to talk about thankfulness. We, you know, for me, of course, because of my Christian walk, there's nothing I'm more thankful for than God's greatest gift to us. Because without that, I would be, I don't know where I would be today in my life. I really don't. I wouldn't know where I was going if I got hit by a car tomorrow. I wouldn't know where my parents are and my brother. I'd have this feeling of lost. But I also wouldn't know where I was every day of my life and decisions that I make and things that happen around me and the gifts that he gives me every day and the things that he creates that happen are so awesome in my life because of my faith. How incredible is that? So having a heart of gratitude is breathing to me. And that's where we need to stand in that and be grateful for the abundance we have and the miracle of abundance that's before us. So that's a great one. Heart of, you know, that decision to be joyful, decision to be happy. Number six decision is compassionate decision, that you will agree this day to have a forgiving spirit. And this is a real tough one for most people because we don't, and it, I mean, I was never one that had this issue because I don't know, for somehow, my mom even told me when I was a little kid, she said, I've never seen anything that, like water off a duck's back with you, Mary Jo. People could do you the biggest wrong in the world and you just go, you just move right on. And I've developed a word called next because of it. Even Lydia, when she started working for me and she'd screw up or make some mistakes, and I go, okay, so let's work this through. Okay, and then I go, okay, so what are we doing next? And she go, how can you just do that? And I go, do what? And she goes, well, we just had this gigantic problem, and you just are like off on the next, you know, like it never even happened. I go, well, did we solve it? Did we resolve it? Did we put in place ways? And I said, so what do you want me to do, dwell on something negative? Are you kidding me? I don't have the time in my life to dwell on something negative. We tackle it, move on, next, N-E-X-T, greatest thing, greatest word in the world, next, right? Next, move on. Forgive, move on. And forgiveness is forgetting about it, too. It's not about, oh, well, I'm going to forgive her, but I'll never forget that she did it to me. Oh, that's really intriguing. Grapple with that one. Tell me what side you come up with on that one. So, you know, having this concept of forgiving spirit is absolutely, and it's not something that people have to earn. It's something you give away. In fact, one of the things that Andy said, he said, I now understand that forgiveness only has value when it is given away. It only has value when it is given away. That's incredible, and it's absolutely true. So people don't have to earn forgiveness. In fact, the number one way for you, it's a great secret, and it's funny because Andy said this, and it's something I learned ages ago, that if you were in Clemmer training, you got it under 3 R's, if you remember that. But if you don't, go back and read. If how-tos were enough, we'd all be skinny, rich, and happy, because 3 R's are crucial to move on in life and live the best and most fulfilling life, is to understand the 3 R's. But of all the world's population, he said, I am one of few possessors of the secret to dissipating anger and resentment. And that's when he made the comment, I now understand that forgiveness only has value when it's given away. When you can give away forgiveness, And you say, well, why should I forgive them? They did it to me. They should be calling me and asking for forgiveness. And I go, people don't have to earn forgiveness. You give it away. Because otherwise, you carry the anger inside you. You carry the revenge, the spiteful feelings, the you did me wrong. This is the reason people don't talk to their parents for 6 years or their brother for 5 years, or because you carry this anger, resentment all around because you have an unforgiving heart. And you say, well, they should be calling me. Well, who puts the rules in place? You do. Great. They might not even know they did anything wrong to you. They might wonder why you've been such a weirdo for 5 years not getting in touch with them, refusing to contact them. They never even knew what happened. Their perception of it was totally different from yours. So you're going to allow that to rob you of fellowship with a fellow member of your family? Are you kidding me? And this happens to us. How does this apply in our romantic business? Those who are critical of your goals and dreams, you are angry about. How many people have said, network marketing, MLM, right? People, they just don't understand the higher purpose to which you've been called. And when you get that, that's huge, because now you can forgive them for their negative attitude. Forgive them. Move on. But if you allow them to influence you and you don't forgive them and you bring anger and depression around it, what are you doing? You're allowing them to control you. Once again, you're giving. When you don't give forgiveness, you're allowing somebody else to control you. Think about it. So I will forgive even those who do not ask for forgiveness, right? And the number one person you got to forgive first is yourself. So work on that one. Dig deep, because how many things have you done that you still hammer yourself? Right? That's a huge one. We tend to, our greatest unforgiveness is towards ourselves. And we keep beating up. How many times have we replayed mistakes we've made? We beat up and beat up and beat up. Okay, last decision, 7. Sorry, running over people. We'll go quickly through this. 7 is persistent decision. Never give up. Persist without exception. In other words, this is a classic, and we find it in our industry all the time, but this is not about our industry. This is Andy Andrews, and he gives these 7 decisions to everybody on the face of the earth. Make these 7 decisions. So never give up. Persist without exception. And I loved his statement. He goes, you know, we get into Manatech and we go, how long is it going to take until we get successful? And then we go, how long do I have to actually work this hard to succeed? How long do I? And he goes, how many children say that as they're trying to walk? Right? Does a child go, how long do I have to do this before I walk and ever give up? No. He walks, he works at it until he walks. Just like you work at this until it works. You work at it until it works. And you find the skills that it takes and the balance it needs and the things I need to do and not do and what I got to clean out of my, I have to empty the rocks out of my knapsack, because what I've created in the past has been this confused, irrational, illogical beingness that I need to get rid of. I need to clean house. When I become a better me, I'm going to be a great attractor factor. And that's where it starts. So he says, so you persist without exception. You don't let things fall in your way. You don't let it stop. You don't say, oh, this isn't working. You don't do this. You don't do that. You know, it's crazy. You know, if some people go, well, I can look at this by reason and I can rationalize and da-da-da. And I love Andy when he says, for me, faith will always be sounder guide than reason, because reason can only go so far. Faith has no limits. The reward of this faith is to see that the future that I believed, that's the reward of our faith, is to see the future you believe. So have faith. Continue despite exhaustion. Continue despite the roadblocks, the negativity, whatever comes in your way. Those are people that are just confused. They're people that don't understand the higher purpose to which you've been called. Focus on results, and you'll create greatness. So persist without quit. Never give up. No exceptions. So those are great 7 decisions. So some of you sit back and you can say, well, you know, Mary Jo, I have all those in my life. Do you? You know, I feel the same. When I went through the 7 decisions, I was like, wow, you know, I've really grown so much over the years on all of these categories. But I am still going to do the next step, because I think it's crucial for us to remind ourselves every day. So what Andy says, he's got a seven-decision calendar, and I suggest all of you take this on for 2014 because you will grow. You will grow. And do you want to grow? That's a decision you can only make. I always tell people you're either green and growing or you're ripe and rotting. So make a choice. I choose green and growing. So I'm going to do this as well. You take the calendar. You can print it off. It's a calendar. And every day what you do is you start off. First day you can start off, and I'm going to start this. January 1st is my first day, and I start off with this. I take one of the decisions, and I'm just going to work through. You can choose. It doesn't matter. I don't think he dictates which decision. But choose one decision at a time. So maybe you take one of the tougher decisions for you. Or maybe you start with an easier one. But I would to take one that's a challenge. Take a decision that's a challenge for you. And maybe and what you do is you read his languaging that I sent to you on that link, and you read it every day for 21 days. Every day. And you mark down when you read it, a.m. or p.m., and check off the day. And if you miss a day, you got to start all over. It becomes day one again, and you do it 21 days straight. And you do it with each of the seven decisions. Right? Everybody get this? So so how long does it take you? It's going to be less than, to read that probably takes less than 5 minutes. So can we spend 5 minutes a day for the first 5 months of 2014 to totally change our lives? I think so. To build a better life. The other thing I suggest you do is take down, when you're reading this, is take down on note cards, take down the nuggets for you. What are the nuggets that really move you in his languaging? What is it that really hits home? And highlight that and take those nuggets down on little flashcards or 3x5 cards so that they become a part of your life forever because they moved you in a direction. Just like I picked out today when I went over them with you, the decisions. I gave you certain language that I really enjoyed, you know, quotes. And I'm going to use some of his quotes because I think they're terrific. But what a great way to help move you forward, because these are the kind of traps that we get stuck in, and we get stuck in them, you know what happens? Life doesn't go the way we want it to go. So we can choose all the other things, setting goals, vision, whys, all those things, but if we stay stuck in our traps, it's hard to experience the greatness that we have ahead of us. So everybody, that's it. That's all I have for today. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoy working with Andy Stuff. He's got some great material there, and some of you might go, I'm real familiar with all that, Mary Jo. You know, I teach and train responsible victim, you know, and I've been doing it for 7 years. And so I get it that some of you are entrenched in some of these things, but just the fact of doing them again, finding new awareness, that's where we find the things we don't know, or we come to new ahas in our life. It's one of the reasons on my coaching form this year that I'm working with and going forward, I have a section for what are we reading, what are we learning, what were our aha moments of the week. Because if we're not having aha moments, we're not growing. We're not growing. And if we're not growing, what are we doing? We're either green and growing or we're ripe and rotting. So I want everybody to grow. And I think that if you read this over and again, your mind is going to go places and you're going to grow and you're going to come to aha moments. And those are the things you want to write down, your aha moment. What did I learn that's going to move me forward in a new way? And there's not a day in my life I want to go without having something impact me to put me on a path that's going to be better than the path I'm currently on, right? All right, everybody, love you. Any last-minute comments before Christmas? No, and New Year's, too, because remember, we're not having a call next Monday. I promise you, though, as soon as those rules come out, I'll get something out to you, and then we'll train on those as soon as that's available. And I believe that'll probably be our first training in January is going to be on our winning Punta Cana, and I'm going to give you strategies to do that because I want every one of you there to celebrate with me. It's going to be an awesome. I've never been to the Dominican Republic. I don't know if you have, but that should be right on that big goal sheet for all of you because we're going to be there together, right? We're going to make it happen. Okay, everybody, great. Any last-minute comments? Okay, everyone, love you all. Merry, Merry Christmas. Happiest of New Year's. Have a wonderful time celebrating this time of year. And enjoy family and enjoy friends. And let's make this a great 2014 together. Okay, everybody. Bye-bye.